my name is Greg. I'm an addict. First off, I'd just like to thank the committee for asking me to speak. It's appreciated. I've come to this retreat a couple times, never in this capacity, so it's kind of fulfilling to feel like I'm actually starting to come full circle a little bit. The topic they asked me to speak on was the fifth tradition, primary purpose. First off, the way I was taught, whenever looking at the traditions, it's important to look at them in the context of how we work steps. The traditions need to be worked just as well as our steps, and also they're in an order for a reason. You know, I have to take a look at our first tradition where it says that I can't recover unless I have people around me, and NA has some unity. So I need to be around people who are doing the same thing for the right reason, helping each other stay clean. I have to take a look at our second tradition and understand that, where, you know, our ultimate authority is God. It's not an individual. There's no king of NA. There's no president. It's just everybody with an equal voice. I have to look at our third tradition, where everybody's included. All you need to do is have some willingness and want to be here. Fourth tradition just allows groups to have their own little flavor and identity and something resembling a little bit of a personality. And allow groups the freedom to run as they need to in order to convey the message, which is where we come to our fifth tradition. And fifth tradition basically just states that in the literature you'll see it says the most powerful vehicle for carrying the message is group. If the group wasn't necessary for us to hear the message, then we wouldn't need meetings. We'd be able to do this on our own. And I've learned from personal experience, I cannot recover on my own. I need to come to meetings. I need to be around people in recovery. Basically, I just need help. And I'm going to try not to get into any horror stories, per se. I've been to groups where that whole concept of the fifth tradition does get lost. The message gets blurred, or if there's a message even trying to be conveyed at all. Basically, the meetings where you have a lot of stuff going on doesn't belong in a meeting. And I've also, been to meetings where I haven't been there to hear a message of recovery. I've been there for ulterior motives. And it's taken a long time for me to, like, mature, and, a lot of step work and a lot of prayer and a lot of following suggestions in order for me to kind of make progress and start to get my wires straightened out. When I got clean, I'll put it real blunt. Like, when I got clean, I really stopped using, basically because I'd gotten so sick of doing what I had to do to use that I couldn't stomach it anymore. And being dope sick was actually easier than talking myself into doing what I was doing to get more. I went to another retreat. I got clean on May 27th, and there was a retreat going on in Farmington. And I went to that retreat basically just to kind of, like, say hey to a few people, because I had these, like, thoughts of basically checking out. But there are a few people I wanted to say goodbye to first. And I went to this retreat, ran into a few people. I called somebody I knew to kind of help get me there, because I was just broke. My car wasn't working good. They got me there and drug my dope sick ass up and down these big ass hills all day, all night, feeling sick as hell. Saturday night, I went there on a Saturday, and Saturday night when they did the clean time countdown, I was the jackass that stood up for, like, 2 days clean. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if it started that day, if it started, a few days after that, but for some reason, I kept finding reasons to stick around. And I kept coming to meetings when I got clean. And I was so beaten down that whenever somebody gave me a suggestion, I listened. I don't really know why, because I was one of the people for a long time that was, like, one of the chronic relapsers. I'd get clean, stay clean long enough that everybody thought I was okay, and then out of nowhere, I'd pick up. And for some reason, this time, it just hasn't happened. As far as the using part goes, I've been able to stick around, and I've gotten to a point now where my life is worth holding on to, and I actually have something resembling a life. And my fiance and I were talking the other day, because my kid's out of town right now on vacation with her family and her grandparents and aunts and uncles and everything. And, you know, we were sitting around kind of bored. And we were just like, you know, I remember when we were first together and we go to Walmart like 3 o'clock in the morning. Just, you know, we were living in Edmundsburg at the time, which is just like a, if anybody doesn't know, it's just basically a little town in the middle of nothing. And I think Walmart's probably like the closest thing they have to resembling a club. And we'd go there. And that was like, you know, big fun for us. We'd go like shopping and do like decorating and shit like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'd be like, you know, do you remember when we used to do that? And, you know, her response was like, yeah, that was when we didn't have a life. And I started thinking about it. I was like, yeah, you know what, things have changed today. You know, I'm no different than anybody else when they got clean. You know, when I got clean, I was unemployable. You couldn't trust anything I said. You could only trust maybe a quarter of what I did, because my plans would change to suit my needs in a second, regardless of anybody else's thoughts or feelings. What the program has taught me is that I can't live like that today. There are certain things I did, I don't know, as far as a few months ago, that I'm just not okay with doing. Because I know if I continue to act out in certain ways, I'm going to end up sticking a needle in my arm again. And as far as I've pushed things, I probably wouldn't even get that jolt. I'd probably go out before I ever felt anything. You know, and when I think about relapsing, you know, that's what comes in my head, is if I try to pick up, I'd probably get arrested, you know, and I'd just have that on me. Or I'd overdose and I'd be gone. You know, when I come to meetings, some kind of like to restate what I already said. When I come to meetings, I don't get to as many meetings as I'd like to anymore. I work a lot, I go to school, I have a girl, I have a kid, I got another one on the way. My life is very hectic nowadays. So when I come to meetings, I do a pretty good job of listening nowadays. It's not like when I first got clean, where I come in and joke around, and, you know, it's like more of a social thing. And when I come to meetings, I listen very closely, but I definitely pay attention to how people act before and after the meeting. You know, I trust what people do a hell of a lot more than what they say. You know, and I heard somewhere a long time ago that, like, you know, be careful how you act when you're outside of a meeting and even when you're inside of a meeting, because you might be the only experience with a basic text anybody ever has. You know, so regardless of what I say here, whether or not I'm practicing my fifth tradition depends on what I do when I leave here. If I leave here, go to a store, and steal shit, that's not NA's message. If I leave here and, you know, when I walk out of this meeting, if I go start talking to some other girl and start, you know, being unfaithful, that's not NA's message. You know, the fifth tradition tells me that I need to walk what I talk. I need to understand that NA's message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose a desire to use, and find a new way to live. If you read the basic text, it doesn't say using drugs. It says stop using, period. There are a lot of things I use to take me out of myself. At some point growing up, some kind of fracture happened in my spirit that I found the remedy in a chemical. And over the course of time, that chemical became as big, if not bigger, a problem as the initial pain was. And I kept doing that until I got beat down enough and where I had to come here, because this is the only place that worked. It's the only thing that could help me. And for whatever reason, it still works to this day. And it's been, you know, a little over 4 years. And honestly, the fifth tradition is basically, when I instill that in me, and I pair that up with the steps that are, you know, run with it, you know, my fifth step, and I learn how to be honest, and I start having some integrity, and I'm able to make commitments and keep them, and I'm able to show my face with a sense of a little bit of dignity and, you know, a touch of pride. That's what NA's message, you know, tells me, is that I can become the person that I was meant to be. Instead of like the chameleon that changed places and changed faces and talked different ways around certain people and acted different ways around certain people, because that's what I need to do to fit in so I'd, you know, get more of what I wanted. NA is one of the few places where I can actually come in and sit down, be myself, and be accepted by most of the people. And I'm not going to play it off like everybody's all lovey-dovey in here. Like, I don't come to meetings for hugs. I don't really come here to show off. I don't come here for any other reason than just to hear something that's going to help me get through that day. That's really all I need. You know, the desire to use has left me. And as long as I act right and do what the program tells me, that desire doesn't come back. You know, I can't say that I've followed every suggestion, because honestly, after I got about a year clean, I got real cocky. And I thought that, you know, I'd kind of arrived in a sense, and I could put myself into dangerous situations, and I could do this, that, and the other, and I'd be okay. And I've found out that's not true. I've found myself in spots, you know, as recent as January, where I was in as much pain as when I first got clean. The only thing that was different was I wasn't dope sick on top of it. But that emotional and mental and spiritual pain that, you know, I volunteered for, put me in the spot where I had to go into newcomer mode, and I had to attend a meeting every possible night that I could. And I had to sit down and shut up and not share and just listen the whole time I was there. And the only time I would talk about anything or share a problem was I'd make a phone call either before or after the meeting. Because that time around that many people trying to attain the same goal was so valuable. And I don't have, like, a recovery-based household. Like, I don't come home and start throwing around program slang. I don't have any family members in recovery. You know, I have you guys for that. You're the only resource I have for it, and it's all I need, if I choose to use it. So, I'll say this. If anybody here has had any experience with meetings where the primary purpose is blurred or is not carried out completely, like we used to have a real big problem with that in my area, where we had a little cluster of meetings that were kind of going astray from what common sense would tell you any messages. There's always another meeting. If you have a bad experience, give the meetings a second chance, for they give you a second chance. You know, keep coming back until you hear what you need to hear. Listen to whoever you have to, regardless of what they look like, sound like, smell like. You know, just you might hear what is going to save your life that day. You know, one of the lessons I had to learn is that, like, when one of the primary principles of this program is unconditional love. My vision's kind of messed up at times, because I don't recognize love when it shows up. You know, and I think I had about a week clean, and I went to a meeting, and this guy pulled me aside. When I got clean, I weighed about 155 pounds. I wasn't really looking too good. I had tracks running up both arms. And this guy looked at me and said, "Hey, man, how you doing?" Because he'd recognized me from when I was in here before. And he's like, "How you doing?" And I was like, "I'm doing okay." And I looked at him, and my face gave it away. You know, because we know, like, when someone's bullshitting us. We smell our own. And he looked at me, and he's like, "How long you been clean?" And I was like, "About 4 or 5 days." He's like, "Why'd you use again?" And I was like, "I don't know. I just..." And I, like, mumbled my way through something, just trying to get him to shut up and get away from me. And he's like, "What is wrong with you?" And I was like, "Huh?" And I'm thinking he's being an asshole. He's like, "What is wrong with you? Don't you realize you're going to die?" And I'm looking at him, and I'm just like, you know, it's kind of in shock is what he said to me. He's like, he looks at me, and he's still staring at me. I guess he's waiting for me to say something. I'm just, like, staring back at him. He's like, "You are going to die. Get it through your head." And then he walked away. And so I was pissed off at him for about a month. I haven't seen him since. A couple weeks later, it kind of started to sink in, and it actually, like, dawned on me. Bless you. Twice. That's the end that I was heading for. That if I kept doing what I wanted to do my way, I was going to die. And I had a baby girl at the time who was about 2 months old. And the thought of explaining to her that her father was dead and her having to deal with that for the rest of her life didn't sit well with me at all. And I started to get a little bit of motivation to do the right thing. And, you know, by hearing the message and the groups fulfilling their primary purpose, that that desire to stop using has been nurtured, and I've been able to move forward with some things. And no matter how bad today is, it doesn't even come close to comparing to some of the days I've had, especially in early recovery. And if I maintain my recovery and continue to grow and follow suggestions and hear the message and, you know, understand that the only, you know, Annie's promise is hope. The message is hope and the promise is freedom. And believe that. Allow myself to believe that better days are ahead. Good things happen. You know, if I walk around all apathetic and I think everything's lost and, you know, I'm not going to do anything good because I don't deserve anything good, I'm just shooting myself in the foot. So, I guess I'm about done. I'm a little more anxious to hear the second speaker than I was to hear myself talk. So thank you guys for letting me share. I hope you guys have a good weekend.
Good, my name's Terry. I'm a speaker. And in fact, before I came, I introduced myself to the speakers. And the second speaker, his name is Terry, too. I said, how could there be two Terrys in the same room? But anyways, he says, oh, no. He says, I have a son named Terry the Third. And his son should be pretty proud of his dad. You know, there's a saying I always use when I do a lead. I said, anybody could be a father, but it takes somebody special to be a dad. And without anything further, I give you Greg W. from the Keeping It Real group.
My name is Terry, and I'm a recovering addict. Thanks, Greg, for sharing your experience, trust, and hope. My fifth tradition, it hits a note with me. First, can we have a moment of silence so I can get me out of me and let God do what he's going to do, please? Thank you. Says each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry the message to the still suffering addict. And I got to honestly say, there's days that when I walk into my home group, one of the two that I have, I'm not there still suffering addict. You see, I need to hear what's going on, and the message that I need to hear has to be a clear message and not distorted. And see, me, myself, I got a problem with identifying with what a addict alcoholic is, or a bipolar, and all that other stuff. I was taught when I came up in here that you're an addict. That's it. I mean, you know, and I hear today of the messages is being distorted in some home groups. And that really bothers me. I had a gentleman, me and my family were out, of all places, the Walmart. Something about the Walmarts, huh? And we went out to go get some dog food. Couldn't have been no more than about a 15-minute trip, so I fought. That 15-minute trip turned into an hour and a half simply because another recovering addict asked me in the middle of the aisle, did I have 5 minutes to give him, and I asked what the problem was. He says, man, I need to talk to you, a more experienced member, about the distorted messages that are being sent in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous in some of these here home groups. And after we sat down in one of those comfortable hard wooden chairs that they got, I come to find out what the problem was with just what I just got finished mentioning. Someone chairing a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and introducing themselves as being in the other fellowship. So quite naturally, I got a little perturbed about that. Be Lord as it is, I mean, each group is, you know, autonomous in what they're going to do, how they're going to go ahead and present themselves. But let's get back to the real message here. You know, it was just stated that some of us are just coming up into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and receiving a distorted message is something wrong. Hearing that their first message is just like reading a basic text when you don't have one. So after sitting down with the gentleman, I come to find out that he mentioned a home group that I knew of, and I made some phone calls to find out what was going on. Now here it is, 8:30 at night in Walmart. Who says recovery stops? It don't stop. It goes on. It's called carrying the message to the still suffering man. The guy walked up on me with tears in his eyes because this had affected him real bad. Distorted messages that are being sent in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. First of all, it's a privilege to even be associated with a home group. It's a privilege to be asked, do you want to join something and give back to an organization that has been so freely given itself to you through the many folks that we have in this here program called a We. You know, there was places where I was always kicked out of and don't come back. Don't want to see you no more. You know, here, it's always keep coming back. Keep coming back. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're here in Narcotics Anonymous, I'm not going to tell you to keep coming back. I'm going to tell you don't go nowhere. Because you're here for a reason, and more than likely you're here for the same reason I am, and that's to get the message of recovery, and you're not looking for a distorted message. You know, I used to think that the fifth tradition was all about a home group getting them great big cookies and having a nice coffee and the prettiest daggone coffee maker and all that the other good stuff. But I come to find out the fifth tradition in home groups is something bigger. Something else altogether bigger. Yeah, you can go ahead and have the cookies and the cupcakes and the best coffee. But now let's talk about the message that is being delivered. Okay, let's talk about the message and how it is being delivered. See, the two home groups that I am privileged to be in, I take very serious. Let me get this up off my chest. I recently stepped back off of both of my home groups. And it says right here in the It Works How and Why book. And the reason why I stepped back is because I felt that both of these here home groups that I'm with started taking over a certain personality. And see, that's not good for a home group to be taking over one person's personality. And that one personality was mine. And I didn't like it. And I seen it. And it caused me to step back. It caused me to step back simply because I did not want to be the center of attraction when a person came up into that dear home group. I had tried to stop it once before, but you know, when you get immune to face some things, you get accustomed to some things, just don't know how to break them. So I had to go ahead and do something myself. After I prayed about it, of course. Some of us, you know, well, I have seen as to where a home group does take on personalities and that person runs with it. But sending a distorted message, again, is something that, you know, is just not Narcotics Anonymous way. So I got up out the way, prayed about it hard. You know, although the home groups that I belong to, we sat down And they're very unique in their own way. And the reason why I say they're very unique in their own way is because one of the home groups I deal with that I belong to, that I have privilege of being with, has a format that no one else has seen in the areas as of yet. And we take that to heart. Our home groups have become one great big family. Yeah, we do have some that like to go ahead and stray to wayside, you know, and hold certain positions and forget that we hold them positions and do other things. You know, that's why a lot of home groups say become a productive member of society and also use that productive member of society status and be accountable in your home group no matter what. That's a privilege today. How many times were you accountable before you got up into the rooms and narcotics numbers? I can count on one hand how many times I was accountable for anything. None. So here today, you know, I got the opportunity to go ahead and be accountable in my home group, but I need to go ahead and step back from a lot of things which I've been doing in my home group. Sometimes, you know, that's what one has to do in order to go ahead and still carry the message to the addict that's still suffering. It's hard sometimes to go ahead and find new ways and new ideas to make sure this here home group that you belong to is steady on a rolling basis, that where people constantly want to come back to your home group. There's a home group in which, as you're speaking, I love this here home group because they feed you. See, you go to this here meeting here, they sit down, they feed you, man, and then they have a meeting afterwards. And the best meeting after that their meeting is where they had the meeting after the meeting. This here meeting here, they still carry the message after the message. You know, having a unique meeting as to where one person wants to come back or many people want to constantly come back is awesome. If you ask me, and it even states in the book, the spiritual aspect of the fifth tradition is carrying that their message and making sure that when that their newcomer or when that visitor comes through your doors to visit your meeting, there's somebody standing there in which we call a greeter. To greet that person coming up in, making them feel at home, making them feel like they want it, making them want to come back. Because, see, there's days that, honestly speaking, going to a meeting, all I needed was a hug to let me know everything was going to be all right. Like I said before, there's sometimes when I go up into a meeting, I'm that still suffering addict. And the book tells me as long as I keep going up into the meetings and sharing about where I'm at, somebody's going to go ahead and let me know everything's going to be okay. So I don't go nowhere. You don't have to tell me to keep coming back. See, what got me into the home groups of where I am today is that we all became one. We became one family. When one of us hurting at their home group, we all hurt. Which is something very special to me. Because a lot of the home group members that I have in both these home groups, I'm real close with. Not only has it become a closeness, but I was always told if you get a friendship out of Narcotics Anonymous, that's always a plus. Because, see, I don't know about y'all. I came up into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous not to make friends. I came up into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous to stop the pain, stop using drugs, to get some help. Yes, I'm still sick. My sponsors make sure they let me know that. But that's okay today. Having a home group and being able to sit down with people that are willing to show different sides of themselves and show different ideas on how to make this here home group work better to some awesome. Because how many times did you sit down at a table to go ahead and try to make somebody or work it out with somebody to become a unit? I didn't. When I sat down at a table when I was out there, it's all always get away from me. No, you can't have none. No, that's mine. Don't touch it. I ain't got nothing to say to you. There was always something negative. Now when I sit down at a table, it's a unit. As they say, and it is, as has been proven, it takes a we to go ahead and help you along in your recovery. And trust me, my we is humongous. I got a lot of folks in my we. Narcotics Anonymous has helped me in so many ways, and I got to honestly say that through the integrity of all these here groups that I go to, not just my own groups, but the groups that I go to, they're constantly carrying the message. And matter of fact, I got to say, every group that I go to, that I am permitted to go to through the God of my understanding and Narcotics Anonymous, we try to go ahead and stop that there blurred message. That's why a lot of meetings that I come find out today, they read the disclaimer at the front to let you know. Look here, we're not trying to carry no messed up message here. You're an addict. Do what the Romans do. And we're going to go ahead and carry the best message as we can. You know, I have come a long way, and I have seen many home groups do many things, different things, to go ahead and better themselves. It's funny about working, speaking on the fifth tradition today is, I just spoke on this here tradition about 5 times already, and I asked the young man that I seen out here today. He says, he asked me what tradition I was speaking on, and I told him. He said, again, I said, yeah, so here's what you could do, man. He said, no, man, we're not going to go ahead and dub that there. So you just go up there and give your experience this one over. Again, I'm going to love this. I said, okay. carrying the primary purpose and carrying the message to the still suffering addict is the most important thing that a home group has to offer. And without the home group members getting on board and carrying out their message, Narcotics Anonymous is going to always be distorted. I don't have too much more to say on that there top topic, so if you didn't get nothing, here's what I'm going to say. Everybody going to be out here for the rest of the day. There's going to be more workshops. Grab one of them workshops. Better yet, I know that a lot of people come out here and they're with their sponsors. Grab your sponsors. My name is Terry. I'm at it.